The objective of this workshop was to provide some ideas for those of you who either sing or play melody line instruments when it comes to improvisation, because what we talk about when we're discussing harp technique or something for piano or guitar is certainly very different if you're working with just the melody line. So Bonnie has agreed to put together an introduction to some ideas, and at this point I'm just going to turn it over to you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Dee, and thanks everybody for calling in. My husband was teasing me tonight. He said this was the first meeting I've ever had at my house where we didn't have to vacuum the floors and clean the bathroom, so that's pretty cool. But I'm really glad to be part of this. And Dee, I just wanted to ask you a quick question, because I know it seems like in the past you like to have sort of questions be organized towards the end, but because we have such a small group, I mean, if somebody had something that they really wanted to ask right then, is it okay for them to go ahead and do that, or do you want to hold questions till later?
It doesn't matter to me, so whatever's comfortable to you, you can manage it how you like.
I think since we have a small group of us, and, you know, it's a nice cozy group, so if you guys have a question or just something that you want to discuss, let's go ahead and do it in the moment rather than waiting in case you forget. But at any rate, I am really enjoying doing this therapeutic music work, and improv seems to be an extra special part of it for me. I guess I'm one of those kooky people that really likes to improvise. I've been doing it for a long time, a lot through jazz earlier on. I've been in a couple different jazz groups. I've been in some really wacky experimental music groups where it was a lot of free improv, and another technique called conduction where you don't even have a key or anything. It's pretty wild. So applying improvisation to therapeutic music is a real natural, and I hope that for some of you who maybe haven't done much of it before, it will become your friend, because I really think that in therapeutic music, the ability to improvise really can enhance our playing and enhance who we're serving as well. I wanted to go over a couple quick things about improv, and then we're really going to get more into the nuts and bolts of melody and how that relates to improv. But first, I know some of these things are probably things that I'm repeating from Dee's last conference call, but I'm sure they're worth repeating. But
and Bonnie,
especially
Bonnie,
in yeah.
Bonnie, excuse me. Some of these folks were not on that call, so definitely provide that information.
Okay, you got it. But as far as improv just being a really useful and liberating tool in therapeutic music, I think one of the main ones is that it just really helps to expand our repertoire. And depending on where some of you are with how many tunes you're playing and how you're approaching your repertoire when you're playing, the ability to improvise can really expand on those tunes and can just really be a great way to bridge tunes, connect different songs, connecting them through a session into a more continuous playing mode, you know, keeping that flow. And, you know, depending on what your frame of reference is so far with therapeutic music, I do bedside playing, but I also do playing in, you know, other areas as well. And a lot of people feel like they have to applaud sometimes after they hear you play. And sometimes I find that just being able to keep playing, you know, just bridging those tunes and continuing that session for a longer length of time, people sort of just relax and they don't feel like it's a performance as much. And so that's sort of another little side note. It also can help with transitioning to key changes, and I'll demonstrate some of that in a little bit, so that your segues into tunes if you're going from major to minor keys or just different major keys, it can just help to kind of smooth those out a little bit. The thing I think is sort of a more interesting perhaps a result of improv is that it requires you to be in the moment. And I think especially for the work that we're doing, that's really important to be in the moment. And sometimes if you're sitting there with a music stand and your book and you're reading the notes off of the page, and sometimes we may not have a choice but that, but if we can get away from the page and just play, we are in the moment, and I think that we potentially can serve our patients better. So for me, I think that's sort of a neat sort of side thing, which leads to one of the definitions that I came across of musical improvisation, which is the creative activity of immediate, parentheses, in the moment, musical composition. So it just seems to go perfectly, I think, with what we do. Musicians have been improvising forever, practically. I mean, all throughout the medieval and the Renaissance, Baroque, you know, classical. I mean, it was really just expected that you improvise, and it really hasn't been until sort of the 1900s that sort of fell out of style for various reasons, and luckily that has come back in. But as classical musicians, there was sort of a couple generations where people forgot how to improvise, and we got really kind of glued to the page. So it's nice that we're sort of back into an era where improvisation is, you know, expected and valued. So because we all play melody instruments, or most of us do, I know we have a few harpists here, so that's great. Hopefully you'll be able to glean some stuff off of that as well. But I really wanted to just focus on melody as a basis for our improv, because we don't have, as single melody instruments, we don't have the luxury of being able to play those nice chords and play the tune. So we're really cut down to the basic melody for our improv. And I just wanted to go over quickly sort of a definition of what melody is. And you all might have your own definition, which is great too. I'd love to hear that. But basically, melody is a logical progression of tones and rhythms, and the notes relate to and follow each other. A melody basically makes sense. What a melody is not is a random bunch of notes that don't seem to fit together. And if everybody could do me a favor, and if you have access to grabbing a pencil and a piece of paper, just something to write on, I want you to write this down just so you don't forget, and so I don't forget. But I'd love to hear, sort of near the end of our call here, what is your favorite melody, or what are a couple of your favorite melodies? And if you can just kind of do that here in the next minute, that would be great, because we're going to come back to that at the end. So what is your favorite melody or melodies? I know that's an unfair question because there's so many great ones, but if you could narrow it down to just maybe your top couple. So things that good melodies have in common. This is what I want to concentrate on right now, because this is how we can sort of help to structure our improvisation. So good melodies will have a home pitch, and that home pitch is what defines your key that you're in. And I'm going to assume, and maybe I shouldn't, that most of you have some basic understanding of music theory. And if you don't, that's fine too. We might, you know, address some of those issues on a different call, but I'll try to keep it not super technical as far as the music theory goes. But your key is just, you know, are you in the key of C? Are you in the key of G? Is it a major key? Is it a minor key? And once you've defined what that home pitch is, what that key is, then everything else, all of your improv moves around it. Now, within that melody, you have target notes. And I know that Dee talked about this in her harp call last time. But those target notes are those chord tones, the root, the third, the fifth of the chords that are in that song. And those are really important chord tones to aim for in a melody, you know, whether you're composing or you're improvising, but those key chord tones, the roots, the thirds, and the fifths, really important. And I'll just give you a quick example so I'm just not yakking at you the whole time. A C major chord. By the way, that's my big bad bass flute. So I hope it sounds okay over the phone. When I checked it out, it sort of sounded like a bassoon, but anyway, it is a bass flute. So that was a C chord. And so your root is the C, your third is the E, and your fifth is the G, and then the octave C. So the roots, the thirds, and the fifths are always good target notes to use, especially if you're doing, let's say you're improvising off of a piece that's in a 4-4 time signature. You know, if you can emphasize those target notes on beats 1 and 3 especially, that can really help to give your melody a nice flow and a nice contour. If you're doing something that's sort of based on a 3-4 kind of time signature, then you sort of want to aim for beat 1 to have those nice target tones, those roots, thirds, and fifths. It's nice to be able to resolve your melody and eventually bring that back to your home pitch, which again establishes what key you're in. Now, the only exception to that is if you're using your improvisatory idea to segue into a different key. And I'll give you some examples of that in a few minutes. And just overall, melodies should be smooth. You shouldn't be trying to play something that's zigzagging all over the place. I mean, it may be interesting on some levels, but I think for therapeutic music, you really want something that's going to flow. You know, you don't have to have big steps. You can move between half steps and whole steps and thirds. You know, you can jump to fifths and octaves, certainly. I mean, there's no hard, fast rule. But I think often probably a lot of your more recognizable and familiar melodies are the ones that don't jump around a lot. And I'm going to give you an example of that right now. So this is a song that all the songs that I'm going to play for you tonight and that I'm going to improv off of are tunes that I regularly use when I'm playing at the hospital. So one of my favorite tunes, or parts of a tune, is the Largo movement from Dvorak's New World Symphony. And some of you may know it as Coming Home. And I'm going to do this in the key of F. Now, I realize for some of you, like Jody with the Native American flute, that not all of these Ionian type of modes and keys are necessarily going to work super well, but I think everybody can probably find a key or adjust accordingly to your instrument. But I'm just letting you know that I'm going to do this in the key of F. Great tune. That's one of those tunes that you can hum, and it's one of those tunes that sticks with you. And one of the reasons is because of where those target notes are. First of all, the home pitch is established pretty quick. Right there, that's the F, and it ends on an F at the very end. But you also have a lot of the thirds and the fifths, which are A's and C's, that are landing on those beats 1 and 3. So now, and there's a bridge to that, of course, to that melody that goes. And that repeats again, and then it finally comes back to the A. So now I'm just going to basically use the structure of that tune to improvise off of. And I'll probably just keep it pretty simple at first, and then I'll give you some other sort of suggestions of ways that you can really turn this into sort of just an exercise in how to explore the structure of a melody and make one of your own based on it. Mm-hmm. So you could probably still hear bits and pieces of the original tune, but I added a lot of, or I tried not to add too much, but sort of the notes that you hear in between are passing tones and neighbor tones, and those are the notes that kind of connect some of those target notes that I was talking about, those roots and those thirds and those fifths of the chords that really are the kind of the meat of the tune. So you use other chord tones and other notes from the scales to kind of approach those notes. And so by doing that, you're able to create a tune or, a variation. And that's sort of where I'm kind of getting at tonight, is using familiar melodies and doing a variation of them to a point where maybe before you know it, you've come up with a completely different melody. I'm going to do a couple more examples. Does anybody have any questions? I'll just open it up for a minute before I move on. I'm going to do a section here where I'm going to play a couple tunes, but I'm going to use some improv to bridge those tunes for key changes and for continuity. But anybody have any questions yet? Okay. Is anybody there? Did you all, you all turn
I'm
on?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to do Green Sleeves, and I think probably everybody knows that tune. If they haven't played it, you certainly know it. This is going to be an A minor. So I'll play the tune first. And again, when you're listening to the tune, maybe be sort of listening more, and I'll try to point them out. One of the disadvantages of playing the flute and not the harp on this one is I can't talk and play at the same time, but I'll try to stop and point out some of those tones when I can. So I just did that in the natural minor. I didn't do the melodic minor version of that. So now, with that A section of Green Sleeves, now I'm going to weave my own melody into those same chord progressions. Can do is, let's say that after you play Green Sleeves, you really want to try to do something in a different time signature. Green Sleeves is in more of a 6-8, a 1-2-3, 1-2-3. But let's say you want to go into something that's more of a 4-4. This is a great way to transition from that time signature into a new time signature. So I'll just take the last part of the tune, and then I'll do an improv. Thank you. hopefully you felt the difference in the time that it went from 6-8 to a straight 4-4. Because the tune that I have in mind, well, let me go back. When I ended the improv, I was still in A minor. So that would set up a tune to then pick up that might be in A minor. You could continue to improv. However, if you end your improv on a different note, and for in this case, if you ended on an E, all of a sudden now you have the ability to change the key from major to minor, or from minor to major. So I'm going to do a little bit of the improv, and then I'm going to end on an E. And by doing that, I'm setting myself up for being able to play something in C major now. So hopefully you're recognizing that that's now Pachelbel canon. So, and I'm not doing it in D, I'm doing it in C, and that's okay. So that's one way that doing a little improv section, whether you're doing it to get into a different time signature or to actually transition into a different key, can work. And really the only thing you just need to know, and again this goes back to theory, is you know, in green sleeves, in A minor, that last chord is an A minor chord, A, C, E. And the C natural is what makes it minor. If it was major, it would be C sharp. But it's not, it's C major. And a C major chord, which is the relative major of that, has two of those notes. It's C, E, and G. So by ending on either that E or the C, you can actually really set yourself up for C major. So I chose E, and especially since that's the note that the Pachelbel canon started on. So you just have to know enough theory to know what note in that chord makes it major and what makes it minor to help you then get ready for your key change. And that's not that tricky, but that's just one thing that you need to be aware of. Before I go on to my next example, and if you guys have any questions, that's fine too. I also want to just emphasize, the more that you can play without music in general, the better. Depending on how you learn, some people are ear learners, and so they learn by hearing it anyway. Other people are a little more tied to the sheet music as far as learning a song. I do both. I like to be able to do both reading music, but also to be able to pick up things by ear. But I think when you are actually out in the world and you're playing for people, not having to rely completely on written sheet music is so liberating. And hopefully some of you are already being able to do that. Not only does it make your tunes easier and makes your life easier, you're not having to schlep all that stuff around, but it also, I think it's just really freeing, and I think it's easier to actually get into improv when you know a tune so well that you don't even need the music, because you're really using your ears. And the more you can use your ears, the better, in my opinion. So before I go on to my next little example, do you guys have any thoughts or any questions so far? Hopefully I haven't completely confused you.
Bonnie, this is Dee.
Hi, Dee.
Can you take one of those melodies, maybe Green Sleeves, I don't care, where you improv and improv it into no rhythm?
Oh, sure.
You know, slow it down and relax.
So basically you want to go from the tune being pulse to the improv being no pulse?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you got it. So here's the last part of the tune. that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, you could end up doing that, having a reason to do that at bedside, but my purpose in asking is that when you have a tune that is, that you use in pulse tempo, most
mm-hmm.
things you can turn around and improv your way into non-rhythmic.
Yeah, exactly. Good, great point. So, right, not only can you transition yourself through improv into changing a key, changing a time signature, but completely changing the pulse where you have nothing at all. And I think that's good because, you know, there could be situations where, for whatever reason, I know there's a lot of reasons, but that you do need to make that switch. Something changes with the patient. So I think it's good to be able to switch gears like that and just really use the core melody or the key chord tones, the chord progressions, but just do a lot of those nice long tones and just, yeah, take that rhythm right out. And it's totally doable. And in fact, this would be a great exercise for whoever is interested to do just that. You know, pick a tune that you can play and then just let the bottom drop out as far as the pulse goes. And it's not easy at first because the tendency is to want to keep your foot tapping and keep that pulse going. So I think it's a good challenge to be able to switch gears like that. So that would actually be a great little homework assignment if you guys were interested in doing that. Any other questions or comments from anyone else before I go on?
I'd like to get a reading, Bonnie. I'd like to get a reading from folks on the call. I'm not hearing much in comments, so either it's perfect, and they're just soaking it up, or maybe there's a gap in what you're understanding. So I'd love to hear from each of you in terms of where you are on the, you know, is there a missing piece? Do you need something repeated? Is it doing what you want it to do? I'm just going to go down the list so we don't all talk at one time. Erin, would you mind commenting on where you are with the call? Erin, are you on mute?
Sorry. So far, I'm finding this to be very interesting. I haven't done any improv really at all ever, so I'm just taking notes and listening really carefully.
Great. Thank you. Colleen, Jeffrey, how about you?
I'm really enjoying it, too. It's making sense to me. I did have one thought. You mentioned, Bonnie, that you often will go ahead and use the same chord progression as that are in the tune. And I'm wondering how much you really stick to that. Is that more important if you're going to segue back into the tune, or is it just a good idea to stick with the same chord progression? And what if you can't keep it in your head?
I know, because I got out of it actually myself. You know, I think you bring up a really good point, Colleen, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe in the beginning when you're either learning the tune and really if you're just kind of dipping your pinky toes into the water of improv, you know, it might be helpful to stay in the chord progression just so that you can wrap your ears around how those, what notes sound good with what chords, and just as a basic way to sort of start approaching improv. But there are totally no rules. So, I mean, once you are feeling like, hey, this is sort of fun, and you decide that you just want to start exploring some other thing, I think as long as it's pleasing sounding, you know, we're not kind of getting all Schoenberg on in the hospital, I actually think it's great. I mean, if you feel comfortable enough to sort of depart the original key signature and go a different way, Great. Then that means that you're uninhibited and that you're sort of willing to explore beyond. The only thing to think about is, how are you going to end it? Are you just going to end that particular part of the session on improv? Or, you know what I find? This is my ADD mind, that how it works sometimes. Sometimes I'll be playing a tune and I'll go into an improv and I won't have any idea where I'm. Sometimes I do know where I'm going to go. I have a plan, but sometimes I don't. And while I'm improvising, it comes to me. And I might play, and I may not stay within the key signature or the chord progression, but I may play something within the improv that reminds me of another song,
Sure.
And so then I'll think, oh, that song would go great with the end of this improv. And so I will wind my way back to a place where I feel like I can leave the improv and I can enter with a tune that I think might be a nice transition. So, it can work all kinds of different ways, but I think if you want to explore beyond the basic chord progression, go for it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Colleen. Harriet, how about you? I think you're on mute.
Oh, okay. Hello. I'm here. Okay.
Yep, you're on.
I'm on. Okay. No, I'm absorbing it, and it sounds great. I've done a little bit of it vocally, where I just accompany myself with chords and kind of play around in between the chords. You're basically saying that's okay to do that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I think this is great. I hate having the music stand and the music. I agree with you totally on being in and connected to the patient when you're not looking at the music and such. So this is great. Thank you.
It makes such a difference. And I'm glad that we have a couple of vocalists, I think, on the call, but I wanted to bring up something real quick, and then I have a story, and then I'll play. I guess, this time goes fast. As a vocalist, yeah, that's what you're doing. I mean, that's how you're creating your music. One thing I've come across with with instrumentalists, we may have ideas in our heads of something we want to play, but getting it through the instrument, the mechanics of our instrument, sometimes can be a little bit of a disconnect at first when we're first trying to do improv. And so one technique for everybody is to actually put your instrument down and just hum. I mean, even if you don't feel like you have a great singing voice, but hum. And maybe if you have access to an instrument like a piano or a harp or a guitar or somebody that you know plays where you could have that chord behind you, that chord progression, and just sing or hum. And that can actually be a great way of getting melodies that are in your head out there, and then eventually working through how to make that happen through your instrument. So I'm glad you're on the call because, it's a good reminder that we don't have to be all vocalists, though, to use our voices to help with getting our improv story out there. I have a really quick story, and then we'll keep going. I was playing, now this was harp. I wasn't playing flute this day, but I was playing the harp, and I was playing for a baby in the neonatal ICU. And the baby was totally responding to the music. The nurse brought the baby over, and she was sitting within a foot of me. And the baby had been in the NICU for about a month and had really been struggling. And I was just playing. I was just improvising and, sort of doing variations of melodies and improvising. And because I didn't have that music stand, I could watch that baby, and I could watch that reaction of how that baby was being affected by the music, and the baby smiled while I was playing, and that totally blew the nurse away. And I wouldn't have necessarily seen that if I had been my eyes glued on the music, So, I mean, that's just one little example of how being in the moment with whoever you're playing for, it can be really magical. Okay, I'm done with my story, Dee.
I think, Jody, did you have anything that you want to add?
Well, it's, whoops. I'm sorry. I've been fighting with Verizon for 3 days on this phone, and I'm having a horrible time catching everything, but I'm understanding. But I come, that's practically all I do is improv. I just play, and I may find a little progression of 3 or 4 notes, and I kind of work with that a little bit, or it just happens.
Okay.
And I'm having trouble trying to remember songs. And they said, all right, just to take off from a song, I guess. Yeah, that's what you're saying, isn't it? Play
absolutely.
A song, but...
And
go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think part of it, Jody, is because of the pentatonic scale of your Native American flute, it is so easy to just, you know, get into these great improv modes because you've got, I mean, unless you're doing alternate fingerings and all that stuff, I mean, you know, you're sort of not limited isn't the word. It's just you can really focus on how to make those tones, those notes sound the best. So yeah, I know that some of this, some of these tunes aren't as applicable to Native American flutes. So you're kind of almost in reverse because you're doing more improv and less tunes.
That's it. I'm kind of, as I say, on the other end of the stick here. I'm starting from the improv and trying to get into tunes and songs.
Well,
I feel that I have to, no?
No, I don't think you have to at all. I mean, I think it really has to do with how people are, I think, reacting to what you're already doing. It may be that you might want to figure out a handful of tunes that work really well with your Native American flute that are also great for improv that you can kind of pull from. So in case, you know, you feel like you're in a situation where you need a few more familiar tunes to add to your improv. But yeah, I think it's great that you're already blowing and going on that.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on trying to learn a song or two and take off from there. But I'm understanding everything you're saying, and I think it's good. I'm just not quite. I'm concentrating so hard on trying to hear what you're saying with this stutter I have in this phone that you know I haven't been able to think about it at the same time.
Okay, thanks, Jody. Paulette, do you have anything that you want to add quickly? And you must still be on mute if you're speaking.
I'm sorry, I forgot I was muted. Just that I need to work on memorization before I try to do improv.
Okay. Well, and Paulette, maybe you and I should be talking offline.
Okay.
Because you're doing this on Harp, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, so we should get a call scheduled.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can I bring up something just real quick, Dee? You know, I don't know if any of you play from what's called fake books, but a fake book, and they make them for all different kinds of styles of music, classical, popular, Celtic, I mean, you name it, there's a fake book for it. And a fake book is basically the melody with the chord, not the chord written out musically, but just the chord symbol or, you know, just an AM for A minor. And that can actually be sort of a nice transition. If you're not quite there with having things memorized, you can still look at that. You can come up with your own arrangements, and you can come up with your own improv because you sort of just have the basic structure of a tune in front of you. You don't have every single note that you're supposed to play and how to play it. So that might be a way to bridge you from playing tunes and getting into memorization and then into improv is to check out some fake books.
Do they have them for classical?
They do. I have a great one. As a matter of fact, I hope it's still in print. And
where do you get them?
I'm looking at it right now, guys. It's called The Great Composer's Fake Book. And it is wonderful. I use it all the time. And it's put out by, I can email this to Dee to send out.
Yeah, why don't you email the information?
I'll do that. But it's great. And I know they make them for a lot of other styles. I have Celtic fake books that I use a lot. So that may be a way for some of you to kind of transition into some of these things that we're talking about.
It's all yours, Bonnie.
Oh, okay. That was it. All right. I'm going to do a couple more musical examples. This is another one, Dona Novus Possum, Grant Us Peace. And I do this one a lot. So I'm just going to play the tune, and then I am going to improv from Grant Us Peace into a couple other tunes really quick. Do we need to be done exactly? It's 8, D?
No, we have a couple minutes leeway.
Okay. So there's the tune. That's all there is to it. I won't play the whole Yezu Joy of Man's Desiring. But that was just a really, I would have spent, you know, in a session, I would have spent much longer with the improv. But that gives you an idea how just even a few phrases of improvisation can help to get you from Grant Us Peace or Dona Novus Possum that's in G major to Scarborough Fair, which I played in E Dorian, and then back into G major with Yezu, Joy of Man's Desiring. And I basically wasn't doing any crazy jumps or anything. I was trying to just kind of keep it very, very scale-like. So I was just moving between half steps and whole steps, but still trying to hit those roots and those thirds and those fifths of those important chords so that you still felt like you had that home pitch. But anyway, so that's what I had. And if you guys have any other questions, great. I do want to, before we end tonight, though, I'm curious if you guys had your favorite melodies that we could share real quick, too. So first of all, any last questions or thoughts just about using tunes as a basis for jumping into the improv pool?
Did you look for favorite melodies? I just unmuted. Were you?
What's that?
Hello. Were you looking for favorite melodies?
Yes, yes. Did you have one?
Oh, I was just thinking of Amazing Grace.
Oh, perfect. Great. So what you can, and I'm sorry, who is this?
This is Harriet in Massachusetts.
Hi, Terry. So, you know, and what instrument do you play? Or are you the vocalist?
Vocalist.
Okay, so, you know, maybe an exercise that you could do is to take Amazing Grace, take that tune because you like it, it's a great melody, and use that as sort of your exercise, so to speak, for the next week or so, and really try to figure out how to do some really neat improv ideas based on on those, that home pitch and those target notes of Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have their favorite melody?
One of them I use, and I just realized I kind of get going on it. It's called the Wind. They call the Wind Mariah, and
that just
sends me off into all kinds of places. I'd forgotten about it. I just go. It sort of, you know, it just travels by itself when you let loose.
And that's great.
Danny Boy also is a good one.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, and if you can find those tunes that not only can you sort of really weave a nice improvisation around, but that send you off into a whole different deal. I mean, I think that's cool, and that's what one of the other ladies that was on the call was talking about. You know, do we have to stay in our, you know, assigned chord progression and key signature? No, not at all. And if you find something that can help to propel you into, you know, a whole other tonality and neat improv ideas, great. You know, the tune itself is just the springboard, I look at it. It's just the springboard to sort of help launch you into finding your own melody. And so really, it's as a tool.
Uh-huh. No, I understand. I sort of come at it usually from the other side, but I understand what you're talking about, and I think that's a good idea to be able to utilize some songs too.
Exactly. Anybody else?
I really like the prelude to the Bach First Cello Suite and the Vocalise by Rachmaninoff.
Oh, awesome. Oh, great. And you're the cellist, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So are you able to play those? I mean, is that something that is appropriate that you would consider playing in a therapeutic setting?
I might, depending on, I'm still going through the first class, but I might, depending on, I guess, the situation.
Yeah. And like Dee was saying, you know, even if you don't play the tune just the way it was written, just use the structure of it and play around with how to, you know, how would you play that cello concerto? How would you use that as a basis with no pulse? I mean, you know, it seems kind of crazy, but I think it's actually could be a very interesting exercise. So not only do you learn the tune the way it is, but then you can really turn things inside out in applying the improv. So I think it'd be cool if you chose one of those to memorize, or at least memorize a portion of it, and then really explore how you would improvise just as a platform off of that piece.
Okay.
Yeah, very cool.
It's just a little note here, something interesting. In Flute Tree, they have just come out with Adagio, by Mozart's Adagio, in the Nakai and the fingering notes. I thought,
That
finally, something!
Yes, that is wonderful, and that is such a beautiful piece, so... You think that might be something you'd try?
It's quite short. You know, it's just the Adagio, the second movement of the clarinet concerto in A major by Mozart.
You know, I think short is okay because then you can focus more on the improvising off of it more. You know, you learn the nutshell of the tune and then you go from there. So short's not bad. And also, that's a great way to just lengthen a tune. So if you decide you want to play that tune in the hospital, and then you really stretch it by then doing your improv. So I think that's perfect.
Uh-huh. Well, I got to learn how to play it first. I just got it.
Yeah, right. One thing at a time.
But I was so... this is great that they finally have something like that at Flute Tree, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
We're about at time, so if there's anyone else that wants to name your piece.
Is there a way to, how can we get this? Because I've missed some with this phone being so bad that I could hear
you'll
it again.
You'll get notification of the link. All of
you
will get notification of the link.
Beautiful. Thank you. And thank you, Bonnie, too. That was interesting.
Oh, you're very welcome, and it was nice to meet all of you and talk with you. So my suggestion would be to just pick a tune, whether it was one of the, you know, your favorite tunes that you mentioned or another tune that you feel confident about. Really learn it. Learn it so that you don't have to read the music. It becomes your song, and then really just use that as a way to explore improv, and you may come up with something that doesn't even resemble what that song was, but that's okay. But that would sort of be my suggestion to you guys, and then maybe we can sort of, when we come back together on June 22nd, I think it is, we can see how that worked, hopefully, with you guys. And then I'd like to get into a little bit more with actual progressions and talk about modal improv a little bit more. But I'd love to hear what you guys are able to do with melodies in the next couple of weeks. How's that sound, Dee?
Sounds fine. And I will make sure you all have the emails, each other's emails.
Great. Perfect.
Thank you.
Time for any last comment, otherwise we're good to go, I think.
All right, well, thanks, you guys. I appreciate you being on the call.
Thank you all.